The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. I say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Okay, so this morning we are continuing in our journey to restoration. In our journey to restoration, God has a couple of things that He wants to put in place for us. And everyone that has been robbed, has experienced a loss, has experienced some kind of setback, the God of heaven will bring restoration into your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our text is from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6, 16. And interestingly, if you were at Thrive on Wednesday, when we, in our study of the book of Nehemiah, Pastor Sam was, you know, referring to this scripture when he talked about the old gate. Remember the sheep gate, then the fish gate, then the old gate, then the valley gate, and on and on and on and on and on. And if you missed Tribe, you want to go watch it, I mean, and be up to date. So Jeremiah 6:16, it says that this is what the Lord says. In other words, thus says the Lord. I'm praying for you that the word of God will not be scarce in your life in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for you that you will be able to say concerning every area of your life, thus says the Lord. This is what God is saying. That is the beauty of having a walk with God, when we can boldly and confidently and accurately say, thus says the Lord. Again, the word of God will not be scarce in your life in the name of Jesus. So, thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Thus says the Lord. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stop. Everybody say stop. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask. Everybody say ask. Ask for the old godly way, the ancient path. Walk in it. Travel its path. You will find rest for your souls. But they replied, no, that's not the road we want. I pray that when God points the path to you, you will not say, no, that's not the road I want in the name of Jesus. I pray that when God points the path to you, you will embrace the path and you will find rest for your souls in the name of Jesus. Many times, in fact, every time, we don't find rest for our souls. Every time our souls are in turmoil, we should check if we are on the path that God has called us to. God is so interested in us having rest for our souls. He's not just interested in saving us, our spirits, or healing our body. God wants your soul restored. God is interested. He says, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. God's heart for you is that your soul will prosper, and your soul will prosper in the name of Jesus. David would say to us in Psalm 23 that the Lord will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, because he's your shepherd. He leads you along the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores your soul. He leads you in green pastures. He restores your soul. So restoration of soul is big to God. And God is saying to you and I that the path he has for us is a path that brings rest to our souls. Check, do a soul check real quick. What's the state of your soul? Is it hurried? Is it in chaos? Is it pressed? Is it crushed? Is it under pressure? God wants you to find rest for your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is the way of restoration. He restores my soul. Today, God will restore your soul in the mighty name of Jesus. So, three things from this passage of scripture that we're going to look at in the journey to restoration of soul at that. The first is S, the second is A, and the third is W. So, you can have an acronym, SAW, S-A-W, S-A-W, SAW. From that scripture, we see the first thing that stood out to us is that the word of God says, this is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroad, stop. You know, many times we get to crossroads and we just want to make a quick decision. We are hurried, and if you are consistently rushing through crossroads, through intersections, you are bound to have an accident. And that is the situation with many people's lives. Their lives are filled with accidents. Your life will not be filled with accidents in the name of Jesus. God is saying, stop. It's interesting that stopping at the crossroad, you know, the stop sign that is popular in major countries at stop roads, it's gotten from the Bible. So stop, and every time the stop sign, the genius of the stop sign is that if there's an intersection and everybody stops and looks according to the scriptures, obeying the word of God, there's usually no accident. There are usually no accidents. So we find situations where we stop and look, then we move. God is saying, stop and look around. You find yourself at a crossroad. Stop. Stop. God is saying, don't rush. Don't rush the decision. Don't rush at the crossroads situation. Stop. Stop. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says to us, Isaiah 30, 15, that in quietness and confidence is your strength. Your strength is in quietness and confidence. The enemy wants to drag you to chaos, wants to drag you to confusion, wants to drag you to the mud. You must stay in quietness and confidence. And we all have those kind of people around us that it's as if they don't have joy until they bring chaos into your life. I mean, do you know any of such people? It's as if they just want to draw you into chaos. As soon as there's peace, it's as if peace is choking them in their body. God is saying, in quietness and confidence is your strength. Remain peaceful. Remain confident in God. And if you continue that scripture in Isaiah 30, 15, you know, if you read it later on, it says, "And but ye would not." The people God was saying, in quietness and confidence is your strength, they refused. They would not have it. So, if God is saying, in quietness and confidence is your strength, and you will not have it, then you can't blame God for the chaos in your life. You can't blame God for the depression in your soul. You can't blame God for the PTSDs that you are feeling, because you are not obeying God. You are refusing, you are willfully choosing not to be aligned with God. God is saying, in quietness and in confidence shall your strength be. But you will not. Remember, it says in the scripture that we read, it says, travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you replied, these people replied, no, that's not the road we want. Now, it means that as human beings, you have a right to look God in the face and say no. I mean, but guess what? That is all you have a right to do, to say no. You don't have the right to change all the storms that come into your life after that. All you have the right to do is say no. And I pray that God will give you wisdom and that you will borrow yourself sense, you know, and not say no to God's guidance on this path through which you will find rest for your soul in quietness and in confidence is your strength. In quietness and in confidence is your strength. We see that the first thing we need to do is to stop. Stop. Psalm 131 verse 2. Psalm 131 verse 2 says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Can you see? You are responsible. You are responsible. God is saying, your soul is as chaotic as you allow it to be. Your soul is as tumultuous as you permit it to be. You cannot permit confusion in your soul and blame God. You can't. You cannot permit chaos in your soul and play helpless. No, you cannot. You can't. The word of God says that I have calmed and quieted my soul. You have the power to calm and to quiet your soul. I do know that some people are like, quote unquote, helpless. Let's use that word very loosely. Helpless in the sense that they become like junkies. They're like addicts. You know, a drug addict is, you get to a point that you are helpless. You need a fix. I know that some people are helpless against this soul storms and depressive and dark moments, because that is their joint and they've taken it for so long and they need external intervention. I understand that. And you should get it. You should get external intervention. Okay? But however, at the core of it, you are responsible. Everybody say, I am responsible. You are responsible. Everybody say, I am responsible for quieting and calming my soul. I am responsible. So stop. 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 Calm your soul. Quiet the noise. Stop. Rest. Stop. Find the time to rest. Someone says some olden time Chicago journalist, he said, his name is Sidney Harris, he said, the time to relax is when you don't have time for it. The time to stop is when you don't have time to stop. When you feel you don't have time to stop, that is when to stop. The time to relax is when you feel you don't have time to relax. And I dare say that the time to pray is when you feel you don't have time to pray. Oh, when you feel, I really don't have time to pray. That is the time to pray. The time to seek God is when you think you don't have time to seek God. Jeremiah 6:16 says to us, the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. So when you stop, be observant. When you stop, we are on the journey to restoration, right? When you stop, be observant. Because if you don't stop, you can't see. How many times have you driven past several landmarks and the people in the car are like, oh, did you see that? And you're like, no. Why? Where is it? But it's too late. You've driven past. You didn't stop. So when we don't stop, we miss several things. So stopping is so powerful. And that's the first thing from this scripture. Stop. When we have stopped and we've looked around, the next thing we have to do is to ask. Ask. You see, many times we cheat ourselves because we don't ask. You know, my grandmother would say that the person that asks for direction never gets lost. The person that asks for direction never gets lost. There's someone that was from Abuja that, you know, was saying, was sharing, when I was sharing this, but the person was saying, he raised his hand and said to me, and he said to us that, you know, that, but in Lagos, that in Abuja, when you ask, he didn't say in Abuja, but I knew he was from Abuja, so in Abuja, when you ask someone for direction, they tell you where the place is. He said in Lagos, that when you ask someone for direction, the place will just be close by. They say, you have missed your road. You need to go back to that side, then you turn left, then keep going. When you see like 5-story buildings, then you turn right, and they will get you lost in Lagos. If you ask, I'm not sure that is a good representation of Lagos, but that's what he said his experience has been, you know, in Lagos. So he would rather not ask for direction. But the word of God says, ask, ask, ask. In other words, it means that God has positioned people in your life that have the answers to the challenge you are going through. So ask, ask. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads. Look around. Ask, ask. Then be specific what you ask for. Ask for the old godly way, the ancient path. When it comes to you want to seek God, how is it? What is the godly way to do it. What's the ancient path to do it? You want to run a business that will glorify God. What is the ancient way to do it? What's the godly path to do it? You want to work in an organization, you know, probably owned by an unbeliever, maybe a believer, it doesn't matter. What is the old pathway? What is the ancient pathway to do it? Why? Because you will not be the first person to do it. There are people that have gone ahead of you to do it. There's a graphic that, you know, struck me, I mean, in the course of last week. And I'm going to ask that they put up that graphic now. You see, this graphic, I looked at it for a bit. I kept going back and looking at it because it's so instructive. You see, the young man has his backpack, is ready to take on the world, fresh boy, you know. Then you have the old man coming down from the same staircase. The young boy has taken a few steps. The old man has a few steps to go. The young man could have just waved to the old man, oh, old man, oh, bye. And by the time he is coming back down, he would appreciate the old man more. The young man could even make a jest at the old man. I said, why are you so weak? Why do you look so old and worn out? You know, we are young, we are fresh, we are the new kids on the block. And the old man will just nod and go his way. True? Or the young man could, if it were possible, take a flash drive, plug it into the old man, and download the old man's experiences so that he can learn from them. And you're like, Pastor, flash drive. I mean, how can you do that? There's a way to do that. It's called asking. Asking. There are people that have gone through the path that you are going through. Locate and ask. Such people have written books. Books. The books are so priceless. Find and read. And ask and read. You may be embarking on an exciting journey. Guess what? Some people are on their way back from that same journey. That's why you will see Solomon, I mean, the writer of Proverbs, most of the books in Proverbs written by Solomon, many times he will say, my son, listen to me. Listen to me, my son. Hey, how many ears do you have? Hey, listen to me, my son. Don't do A, don't do B. I was my father's son, and my father taught me. I have experience. Listen to me. You see, many things that we suffer, some of them we have to go through, but some of them are completely unnecessary. Some of them are completely unnecessary. Lemuel's mother said to Lemuel, my son, Lemuel, the son of my strength, don't give your strength to women or to those that destroy kings. She was a woman. She was an old woman. She was advising her son, if you listen, you do yourself good. If you say, what does this old woman know? By the time you are coming down, I mean, it will be too late by then, though. I pray that it will not be too late for you in the name of Jesus. 1 Kings 20:11 says to us, this is the king of Israel answered, tell him, that is so powerful. A man who puts on his armor to go to battle should not boast like a man who takes it off after the battle has been won. So you see someone coming from battle, bloodied, with cuts, his clothes are torn, but he made it back. You are just dressing up to go to battle. Then you are looking at him, you are laughing at him. Don't laugh yet. You go and come. You go and come. The secret to triumphant living is tied up in ancient wisdom that if you pay attention, you will not suffer loss. If you ask, everyone say ask. If you ask, because if you insist on learning everything by experience, you will limit your access to wisdom. If you insist, if that young boy insists on learning everything by experience, he will have cut off his access to the wisdom that was coming down the stairs. You can't learn everything by experience. Of course, some things inevitably you will learn by experience. But to learn everything by experience, in fact, you can't even live long enough to learn everything by experience. So attempting to gain wisdom solely from your own experiences limits your growth. It limits your growth. When you attempt to gain wisdom solely by your own experiences, you limit your growth. So you stand on the shoulders of giants. You learn from the lessons of others. Stand on the shoulders of giants. Learn from the lessons of others. I've been pastored mainly by two people. And my pastor is firstly by some pastor, then by my pastor that you guys know, of blessed memory, Pastor Escon Fon. It's going to be with the Lord. And now, I learned from both of them. I learned from one how not to do ministry. I learned from the other, from Pastor Esco, how to do ministry and many, many other things. I learned, you see, these people, they have, even if you think they are not successful, they've learned from why they've not been successful, but they don't have enough time to put things straight. But you can learn. You know, my grandmother would say that a child can have more brand new clothes, more Louis Vuitton bags, more Gucci jackets, more, you know, than an old man, but the child cannot have as many rags as the old man. Rags are more powerful than Louis Vuitton bags. Rags are more powerful than a Gucci suit. Rags. Why? Because rags have lived to, they can tell a story. They have scars. They can infuse wisdom. Don't insist on learning everything by yourself. So refusing to learn from others' hard-won wisdom confines you to reinventing the wheel rather than reaching new heights. So you're busy solving problems that other people have solved. In software engineering, there's no need writing code that someone else has written. You should take the code and use it, and you develop on it. Now, if you keep insisting that you are not going to, take for instance, something very ridiculous. You are not going to ride a car until you build your own car. You want to learn how to build your own car. You make your own tire, make your own bodywork, get your own engine. By the time you finish it, it will be time for you to go home to heaven. It doesn't even if you finish at all. But there's no need reinventing the wheel. You take what has been done and you add value to it. It's a foolish person that wants to prove that he's smarter than his father. So needs to tear down everything the father has done so that he can show that he's smart. Does it's, in fact, it's just shown how foolish he is. Praise the name of the Lord. So, if the long road of painstaking personal experience is your only teacher, you will never have wings to soar to height of true greatness. Jeremiah 6:16. Stop at the crossroad and ask for the old and godly way, the ancient path, like we have said, even in your walk with God. Jude 1:3 says, Jude 1:3, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. There is the faith that was once delivered. Earnestly contend for that faith. Don't embrace New Age gospel. Look, the truth remains that the gospel remains the gospel. Jesus came, died for you and I. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. We have been reunited in fellowship with the Father. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other name. And because of the power of God, we are representing Him on earth. We are a reflection of our Father and of His character. We are full of love, and love is patient, love is kind. We do not behave like rascals. We do not behave like vagabonds because we have a Father. Contend for the gospel of truth. And when we are talking about path, you need to understand landmarks. Now, when you are operating in a domain, every domain has boundaries, and every boundaries are marked with landmarks. And it's so important that you understand this. So you do all you do within the boundaries of your inheritance. So we are heirs of the kingdom. So what we do in the boundaries of the kingdom. And it is so important that we understand. Proverbs 23 verse 10 would say to us, Proverbs 23:10 says, do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. When you remove the ancient landmarks, you are entering to the fields of the fatherless. Meaning on one level, you are becoming a vagabond because you are moving out of the jurisdiction of your Father and you are straying. On another level, it means that that boundary separates your field from another person's field. The person may have lost his father. And when you encroach on it, you are entering to the field of the fatherless. You are taking advantage of the helpless, and their God will fight you. Praise the name of the Lord. So, landmarks are objects that mark property lines of inheritance. These lines serve as boundaries. You have a property line of inheritance in God that serves as a boundary for your inheritance. Everyone, everything, every spirit that has encroached or is planning to encroach, the Lord rebuke them in the name of Jesus and drives them back, because your land will be restored to you. Every boundary that has been shifted against you will be restored in the name of Jesus. The boundaries are so powerful. That's why you see in Psalm 16, verse 6, that the lines, the boundary lines, are falling for me in pleasant places. It says, surely I have a delightful inheritance. The boundary lines, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. It is your line of heritage. And in the kingdom, there are boundary lines. There's the boundary line for the kingdom. You don't get out of the kingdom and expect that the forces of the kingdom will back you up. You are not being sent. And also in the kingdom, you have an inheritance. And that inheritance has a boundary line. And that boundary line will be preserved and will be delivered to you. That inheritance will be delivered to you in the name of Jesus. So we stop. Then we ask. Then finally, we walk. We walk. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Then ask for the old godly way, the ancient paths, and walk. There was a walk. Walk in it. What is the point of stopping, looking around, asking, gaining wisdom, and doing nothing about it? Doing nothing about it. And many people, they've stopped, they've quieted themselves, they've looked around, they've asked, they've gained wisdom, and they've done nothing about it. Don't do nothing about it. Wisdom has said to you that you need to make, let's say, 100 calls, sales calls, and get 99 no's to get one yes. Then you make 15 calls and you're like, I'm tired. Oh, this thing is so hard. No, you're not working. You're not working. That's foolishness. If you find wisdom, if he says you need to make 100 calls, guess what? Make 1,000 calls. Work in it. Then you are guaranteed of 10 businesses. Work in it. Work in it. Says, travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. But they replied, no, that's not the road we want. So they've stopped, they have looked around, they have asked for wisdom, they have acquired wisdom, they've seen the path, and they're saying, no, that's not the path. Isn't it ironic? Then they will come back and say, God did this and God did that. May God not slap your mouth in Jesus' name for those that do that. They don't say, oh, God doesn't work. The word does not work. The prayer doesn't. No. You are not working in it. You need to walk in it, and you will walk in it in the name of Jesus. That's how it works. You need to walk in it. But these people say, no, we will not. So to get the value, you have to walk in it. You have to walk in it. And there's an aspect of walking in it that I want to highlight, and we'll close. And that is the aspect of walking wisely. You have to walk wisely. You have to walk how? Wisely. Classic example, David. David was anointed of God. He said to Saul, when he was about to face Goliath, that I am anointed in essence. That the lion came, I killed it. The bear came, I killed it. I'm going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. Because he was anointed, of course, he took down Goliath. The rest was history. David was anointed. David was not only anointed, David was ordained. You see, there are two different things. David was ordained. He was already ordained as king. Mind you, he was anointed because he had spent time with God in God's presence. It's only God's presence that anoints, right? He has spent time in God's presence, but he was now ordained. He was anointed and ordained. But guess what? In First Samuel 18, verse 14, it says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. This is so powerful. David was anointed. He was ordained. But yet, he behaved himself wisely before Saul. It's one thing to be anointed. It's another thing to be ordained. It's one thing to be ordained. It's another thing to be anointed. You can be ordained a deacon, but you may not be anointed. That's a terrible thing. You can be ordained a pastor. Oh, people are calling you pastor, but you may not be anointed. Because if all you have is the consecration, is the ordination, that's all you have. But the anointing comes from you pursuing God. That is where the anointing comes from. And it is only God that anoints. So if you are ordained, you have to be anointed. If you are anointed, don't worry about being ordained, because you will be ordained. I mean, sometimes it may not be a pastor, sometimes you'll be ordained. So people are captains of industries. They are ordained. So people are juggernauts in politics. They are ordained. Anyhow, we need to get it going. But that's not where we are going. Where we are going is this. David was anointed. He was ordained. Yet he behaved himself wisely before Saul. Isn't that, for some people, a recipe for arrogance? David could show up at work and say, this one, the throne has been given to me already, you don't know. I've been ordained as king. He will have died untimely death. David could have said, I'm anointed. I'm the one that has the anointing. I'm the one that brought down Goliath. The women were singing my praises. They were even saying, Saul kills his hundreds, David kills his thousands. I have my glory. They shine more than your own. He would have died on a timely death. David behaved himself wisely. Unfortunately, that is one component that is missing in a lot of people's lives. And I'm praying that the younger generation will get wisdom. Oh, if you have wisdom, you are so powerful. If you behave yourself wisely, you become so powerful. So powerful. Meanwhile, Saul wanted to kill him. Many times, if he threw his javelin, David will have to dodge it and run away. But guess what? The following morning, David is back at work. Yes, sir. Serving him. Some people, all they need to do to need to get is to think that their boss gave them a bad look. Oh, they are done. This is rubbish. I cannot take this nonsense. you are not very wise. But you will be wise in the name of Jesus. David behaved himself wisely. Walk wisely. I want to look at your neighbor and say, walk wisely. Ephesians 5:15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Like those who are wise. Walk like those who are wise. You become an enigma. You become so powerful. Walk with wisdom. No one can take your anointing. You're anointed. If you're anointed, if you're not anointed, you can't get anointed. If you're ordained, nobody can take it. Your destiny is secure in God. Walk wisely. Walk wisely. Walk wisely. And guess what? When we read on further, in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 18, it says that, because David walked wisely, he says, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. He was afraid of him. You see, when people behave themselves wisely, they become fear. People fear them. Why? Because it's like, this guy.
with all he has. He's anointed. He's ordained. Yet, he's walking wisely. Totally unstoppable. Completely unstoppable. And I pray that you will be totally unstoppable. You'll be completely unstoppable. You will walk wisely. You will carry yourself and behave wisely. You become an enigma to your generation. You become an enigma to your detractors. You people cannot unravel you because you are filled with the spirit of life. If you receive that, say amen. I want to pray with you today. You've heard the word. You need to stop. You need to ask. And you need to walk. You're like, Pastor, I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God. I want to give my life to Jesus. That is you, wherever you are. Wherever you are, if that is you, we want to pray with you right now as I turn it over to the RP.
This is the opportunity you've been waiting for. Don't let this opportunity go past you. Yes, you want to stop, you want to ask, and you want to begin to walk with God. But the very first step is to commit your life to Jesus. And that's what we're asking you today. If I just wanted to say after me as we pray, Father, I come before you today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me, and I confess that you are my God. From today on, help me in my walk with you. From today on, let me begin to follow you. As I commit to you today, let there be a transformation in my life. And so shall it be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for your word that has been shared, oh God. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that these words, Lord, will be applicable in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, these words will do us good in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, these words will not stand against us. In the mighty name of Jesus, honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' victorious name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.